So, did you just want me to say dispatches from the underground? Dispatches from the underground.
Dispatches from the underground.
With your host,
Joey Steele. Up to no good. We're good?
Question authority.
Dispatches from the underground.
Question everything.
Dispatches from the underground!
All right, everybody, welcome to Dispatches from the Underground. I'm your host, Joey Steele. Thanks for getting down with us. We're coming at you from the underground in New York City. That's where we are, and this is what we do. And I'm glad you could join us down here. It is a disgusting degrees outside. I don't really know what the temperature is outside here in New York City, but I'm sure it's equally gross wherever you are and probably hurricane covered. Or if a hurricane isn't coming, like there was one just there, or it's like soaking in a monsoon. I mean, nature has just completely turned its back on us this week, if for good reason. I mean, it's not like we didn't fucking poke it with a stick in the eye like a million fucking times, but it's turned its back on us. So I'm sure you're all like hunkered down in your bunkers and listening to Dispatches. And I just want to say you're welcome for giving you something else to listen to, because I'm sure you're tired of listening to the fucking talking idiots on NPR. No offense to NPR, but I can't take another fucking second of some, like, bourgeois fucking dude tell me about wine and cheese in this fucking voice. You know this voice they have, Kate? Like, this voice that they speak on in NPR? It drives me fucking crazy.
I don't listen to a lot of NPR. Well, gotta be honest.
Good for you, because it is obnoxious. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But Christine, my loving wife, listens to a ton of NPR. And I just, they're everything they say, no matter how simply like matter of fact it is, it all sounds condescending. It all sounds pretentious. Like, I don't know how they do that. Maybe I come off that way. Am I condescending to you?
I don't think you do.
Am I condescending to you fucking dumbass pieces of shit out there? Is that condescending? Okay, maybe that was total.
I think that last part was. Right.
Well, luckily for you, whatever bunker you're in is hooked into Dispatches, so you're welcome, and you know, except or thank you or whatever. But we have a special episode today, a hurricane-free episode for you today. Wherever the temperature and weather is you are in, we're not going to talk about a hurricane for a single more second on this podcast. Isn't that delightful?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm here with Kate Hoos. What's up, Kate?
What's going on?
And we are going to be talking about NPR the entire episode.
Yes!
No, that's not true. That's not true at all. That's a fucking lie. Everyone just switched it off. So that's fucking great. Well, now we're done. That's it then. What do you want to talk about, Kate? We're not going to talk about NPR. What do you want to talk about?
We're talking about art, photography in particular, because that's what I do.
Kate is a musician here in New York City. She's in a ton of great bands. First and foremost, an amazing band called Cop Out, which you have not heard yet, but you will hear very soon. I think Al from Trashy's in it, and that dude from All Torn Up, that singer from All Torn Up.
Yeah, what's his name again?
He's fucking handsome as hell.
I heard he's a Calvin Klein model in his free time.
He walks around naked a lot, was basically a Calvin Klein model. So yeah, he's pretty handsome. He's in the band Cop Out. Check it out. It's coming at you very soon. And Kate is also in Lady Business.
BIZNESS.
And we're going to talk a little bit about those bands to start off the episode. And then we're going to talk about photography, because Kate is an amazing photographer. And we're going to talk about the trials and tribulations of her quitting her capitalist bullshit day job and following the artistic realm into poverty.
Yeah, into failure.
Yeah, and no, you know, failure, that's pretty subjective, but poverty, that's pretty objective.
Not failure.
But we're going to talk about that, and then in the second half of the episode, you know, we always try to talk about things that are going in the underground and things that are going on the mainstream. First half, we're going to talk about music we make in the underground and underground visual artists. But in the second half, we're going to talk about how this pops into the mainstream and how you know, even in the mainstream and even in other realms, whether it be music or other realms, it just turns out that women a lot of times are subjugated to nurturing roles in these visual artists realms. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about why that is, and we're going to talk about ways to get out of that. So some tangible real life things people can do. Is that cool, Kate? Or Kate is zoned the fuck. She's like, we're going to talk about all this stuff.
Oh, wait, well, I just woke up. What?
Yeah,
what?
Cool. Yeah, that's what Dispatch is lulling everyone, including our guests, to fucking
sleep.
Sorry,
I got to wipe the drool.
Should we? We could do hurricane talk if you want to, if that's something you're
like. Nah, I'm good. I am all hurricaned out.
I have not watched the news in the last 2 weeks and not heard about the hurricane. And I'll tell you the truth, I have not seen a single hurricane. So I'm not entirely sure it's true.
I don't know. Is it a media conspiracy?
I think it might be. Fox News said something about this being a conspiracy, and I feel like they might be onto it. But maybe I could be wrong.
Didn't Ann Coulter say that? Or
yeah,
I don't know. All those Republican talking heads are like, climate change is a hoax. So I'm like, yeah, maybe not so much.
Well, they're just trying to be consistent, Kate, because they're whitewashing history and
they don't
want to
acknowledge that us and our forefathers have shit all over the planet for centuries.
I think it more has to do with if they're going to be white supremacists, they should also whitewash history and the present. And they're just like, they're painting the picture the way they are. So, Ann Coulter, great job. Keep it up.
She's awesome at being horrible.
Yeah, she is the worst.
Awesome at being horrible.
Yeah, she's pretty horrible. Please kill yourself, Ann Coulter. Not that we should kill her, but maybe so. But definitely hope she kills herself. Anyway, no more hurricanes.
I didn't say that.
I said that. Joey Steele said that. Come get me if you want a piece of me, Ann Coulter. We'll fucking do this shit right. Who would win the fight?
Joey Steele's get a cage match.
Ann Coulter. That would be a horrible. That would be a horrible MMA show. I probably would lose that fight. I'm sure she fights dirty. Also, who knows? Anyway, we're not going to talk about hurricanes or any more of this shit. We're going to talk about photography. I want to say a couple things real quick. First of all, huge thanks to Kate Hoos for coming over in this fucking hurricane weather to do this podcast. And I want to say thanks to Real Punk Radio, realpunkradio.com, for airing Dispatches every Wednesday night at 11 p.m. You can always see us on Real Punk Radio. Also, you can check us out on our own website, dispatchingtheunderground.com. We have a show up usually every 2 weeks. But if you subscribe there on our .com, you will get an update every time we have a new show up. So do that. And, there's a donation button. If you're so inclined, or there's some merch and shit, you'll figure it out. Let's get to the episode. How about that?
Get down.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, get down. That's my line. That's your line.
Let's listen to some music, and then we're going to have a discussion about photography. So what are we going to do here, Kate?
We are going to
get down.
Get down.
All right, let's listen to a tune. First, we're going to start out with Kate Hoos's own band that has an album release October 6th, 2017, right here in New York City. They're playing at Bushwick Public House on that fabulous day. And they will be playing this soon. I like this tune, so maybe you'll play this tune.
I think so. I forget what's in the set list. Yeah, we don't
have
the...
Well, now I said you gotta play it, so you don't have to do it.
Yeah, now we have to play it because Joey said so. We don't... Yeah, there's a few more tweaks we need to make to the mixing of the new EP, so I'm sorry I don't have any new tracks.
I'm a jerk. No, yeah, go to the fucking show if you want the new tracks, but until then, you got this one right now, so we're going to listen to Death Trap by Lady Business. October 6th, Bushwick Public House. Get down.
Choke on your second wind. Savor what's never been. When you're
What's up, Kate? How's it going?
I'm good. I'm good on this lovely afternoon in Queens.
It's disgusting outside. That's a pretty good safe bet. We have so much to talk about. We're going to talk about photography as you are a photographer. But before we get to that, which is what we're going to spend most of the episode on, let's talk about the bands.
Bands plural.
Let's first talk about Lady Business. How's it going? What's up with Lady Business? What's the new deal?
We have been writing a lot, so that's exciting. And we have an EP coming out October 6th. So.
You know what? As a musician, I'm not even sure what an EP is. It's extended play.
Yeah, I guess it's like...
It's a record.
It's not quite a single, but it's definitely not a full length.
Ah, gotcha. Good.
I was explaining that to my mom, too, because she doesn't know any music terms. But yeah, it's coming out October 6th, and we also have a release show, which... Dun 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 is against an all torn up show. I'm sorry.
It is. Yeah, well, don't worry. This is airing after that, probably anyway.
Yeah, so this is in the past when you're hearing it. So, yeah. But in case it's in the future, my mom's coming. So, if you guys ever wanted to meet my mom, I have sufficiently guilted her to the point where she's like, "Fine, I'm gonna come." That was kind of the conversation.
Nice. That sounds like really healthy for her.
Yeah, and then we're doing some dates.
What's the new record? What's the new record called?
We Don't Work for You.
That's the name of the record, or are you just saying that you're not going to tell me the name of the album?
No. Yes, I'm telling you. I'm not telling you.
We don't work for you, motherfucker. I'm not telling you the name of this
bullshit.
I don't
work for Joey Steele.
Figure it out of yourself. Yeah, figure it out on your own.
Yeah, it's called We Don't Work for You. It's just going to be on Bandcamp. There's a possibility. There's a label in Tennessee that might help us out like with a tape of it. So that might be forthcoming, or we might. We've been writing a lot of new material, so that might be on the tape. I'm not sure yet.
Cool. But, so Lady Business... EP, We Don't Work for You. It's going to be out basically October, November-ish. People can get it on the Bandcamp.
Mm-hmm.
What's the Bandcamp?
LadyBusinessNYC.bandcamp.com.
Business, B-I-Z.
Yeah, with a Z. Yeah, then we're doing a couple dates, Philly, Pittsburgh, and Cincinnati. It's hard for us to get out of town. We're both, there's three of us now. It's been that way for a year. I don't know why I just said we're both. We used to be a duo. The three of us are all very busy with like jobs, other bands, different things. Like I'm going on tour immediately after that with another band as support. We fit it in where we can. And then we have some cover band stuff that we do. We're doing basically a Rad Girl review. Three of us are doing Bikini Kill, and then two of us separate from that are doing Bratmobile sets. So when
are the dates out of town? Because some folks out of town might be able to get down. It's in October. All October.
Yeah, all of this is October. October 12th is Philadelphia. The 13th is Pittsburgh. And the 14th is Cincinnati.
Cool. What's up with that other band you're in?
Oh, with those two jerks.
With those fucking... one of them's all right. One of them.
Yeah, the one guy, the guitarist. What's his name? Al?
I think Joey, actually. I think he's a singer, but maybe...
I don't know who that guy is.
Yeah, Kate and I are in a band together called Cop Out. And,
We've been writing a lot, too.
We've been pretty busy with
tightening it. Tightening up and writing. A lot of people want to know when we're playing. That's going to be a 2018 thing.
I think we now have more songs... than Skullcaster.
Wow.
Which has been a band for a while.
And you're like going on tour.
Yeah.
Wait, now the truth comes out. You're like, we're not playing until we have more songs. Now the truth comes out.
Yeah, well, that's more complicated, but yeah. No,
I get it.
Yeah.
Because I'm not Slayer's session drummer, so.
No, it's more, it's you know what it is about Cop Out is that we're all coming from sort of different musical backgrounds and we're
very
melting
true.
Into this new thing. And I feel like our style is taking time to jive, and I think it's starting to gel. But Cop Out, we knew what we were doing song one, so like that was organized and
you
thought
mean Skullcaster
out. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that is true.
So
like
bands, I can't keep them straight.
The last band I played drums in had a very definite like alt rock vibe, and it's been a while since I've played like straight punk on drums. Anyway,
that's super racist. It's not straight punk. I don't think we should call it straight punk.
Don't you mean homophobic? I'm homophobic against.
Well, it's racist
punks.
Against gay people, but that's fucked up that you want to say that. Okay, so Cop Out. We have no real plans to say, so we're actually just fucking
we're gonna play probably January, February, something like that.
Yeah, January.
We're writing
February for sure. I think is definitely in the light, but you know.
We are a rock and roll. Supergroup band.
Something like that.
Yeah,
sure.
The
I'm Cop not
sure Out
if
Review.
I'm not sure if it was supergroup or rock and roll, but that's fine. Okay, Podcast Land, check it out. Cop Out, Lady Business, World Tour 2018. Coming at you. All right, let's talk about photography, because that's what you're doing a lot of lately. That's what we're going to be talking about today on the podcast. And that's your other passion. It's not just making music, but it's also this visual arts. It's not just the auditory realm, but you're also, you're an artist on so many fronts.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. Like I
did.
You did say that, yeah.
It's done.
It's not, I guess you
podcasted.
Could. It's already happened. But yeah, I went to college initially several years ago now, many years ago now, and studied photography. And then, you know, life took its course in other directions, and I decided I was going to work full time and do work for other people, and just, you know, which felt right at the time, but maybe it was, maybe it wasn't, I don't know. So then gradually I just kind of like let it go to the side. And then I got really into doing a lot of mixed media work. And I was showing pretty regularly.
What is mixed media work?
I was doing a lot of collage. So it's like basically blending different styles. So it was less photography, but it was more like I would take elements of my photos or other things, found elements, text, and just make collages. A lot of that. I was doing painting, things of that nature. Because part of it was, you know, as I was learning, it was very film-based, and then, because this was the late 90s into the early 2000s, so it was very rapidly changing, and I was like, I don't know about digital, blah, blah, blah. You know, that was the thing back then, like, oh, I don't want to work digitally, and it's like, well, yeah, you kind of do want to work digitally if you want a job.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
There's a lot more money, too. I mean, for even for people who aren't interested in job stuff, like hobbyists, it's a lot, makes a lot more sense to do digital because you don't have to pay for film or...
Yeah.
You know, fucking processing. What do you call that shit when you process? Developing film?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
All that shit costs a lot of money. So it's a lot
it's
more...
really expensive
it's,
now.
It's more expensive now.
Oh, even more expensive now because
wow.
less people are doing it.
Oh.
I used to be able to get a roll of film developed. I mean, I would do all my own black and white myself. Develop the film, print it. You know, and there was certainly cost involved. But people always ask me, like, oh, do you go to the darkroom now? I'm like, no. I'm like, I don't have time and I don't have the money. But I found a lab in Park Slope that will do a roll of film for $10 with scans. You know, I used to be able to do...
Is that a lot or a little? I don't know.
That's a pretty competitive price, yeah. You know, because some of the people I've talked to have been paying, like, upwards of $15 or more.
Jeez, that's crazy.
At some places in the city, so...
Yeah, you try to do that as a hobby, you're done. So I guess it's even more difficult.
So I started shooting 35mm just for fun, but I don't shoot a ton of it. You know, I take like random street photography and stuff, but like the core of my work is done digitally now, which has been a learning curve getting back into it after over a decade. But yeah, so I, about a year and a half ago was thinking about it and like, you know, I was working a full-time job that I just could not stand. And I subsequently, like I tried to hang on for a really long time, but I left that job like 6 months ago and, you know, I didn't really have a plan. I just kind of like, I remember I called the person I was dating at the time. And then I called my mom and I was just like, this is what I'm doing. And they were both like, my partner was like, yes, do it. My mom's like, I don't know. So I did it. I just fucking did it. And
just
I was
quit.
Like, I didn't have a fucking plan. I had no safety net. And, you know, in the time that I have, you know, I've subsequently found employment, you know, nothing full time.
Yeah,
but,
things.
You know, I found ways to make money and support. But one of those things is I am really pushing myself to get through that learning curve and, you know, okay, now I have, and I bought like the nicest fucking camera, one of the nicest cameras I've ever had. And I just kind of like walked into the store with my credit card and was like, I'll figure out the rest later. But, you know, I've just, cause I had another camera that just wasn't up to the standard that I needed it to be if I wanted to really make a push to push myself to work professionally.
Yeah.
So that's really what I've been doing the past 6 months is really like trying to refine my skill set because it's changed. A lot of it's changed. The software's gotten better.
Mm.
You know, I wasn't particularly like super great with it beforehand, but also like I used to love like going and shooting a couple rolls of film, going in the dark room, making prints. Now I'm like, oh fuck, I have to fucking go through all these fucking photos. So I'm like pushing myself into that new working methodology of kind of doing the post-production and doing digital editing, which has been, you know, I had to learn to use Lightroom and some different programs that just weren't around 10, 12 years ago when I was doing, when I was in college.
Is it getting easier? Or is it more, is it something that you're okay with?
Yeah, right, it is getting easier, yeah.
The dark, you still sort of fetishize the dark room a little bit?
Not really.
No, you don't miss that, the chemicals? No.
I mean, in some ways I do, but it's just like, you know, having to drive somewhere to do it, and like the cost is so prohibitive now. And you know, it is nice to be like, I'm shooting and I'm like, oh, that picture sucks, and I can just delete it right off the bat.
Nice.
So,
is it harder, you think, because there's more shots? I you know, we see a lot of photographers at shows, and I have a lot of negative thoughts and positive thoughts on the front of that. But one of the things I think of all the time, I'm like, man, they're shooting a ton of pictures. How are they going to go through the 300 pictures and pick out the ones that they like? I can't go through fucking like 10 different fonts and figure out one I like.
That's definitely something new, because now I used to go to a show and I'd maybe shoot 3 rolls of film if it was like, I loved all the bands. Like, when I used to go see Sleater-Kinney back in the day, they always had like the best fucking openers with them. So I would shoot like 4 or 5 rolls of film, which was a lot, you know. But now I'm going to shows and I'm shooting like 200-300 pictures.
Yeah, exactly.
So you have to be really disciplined. And that's one of the critiques I have for a lot of digital photographers out there. They do not know how to edit themselves well enough. And like some, like I'll see something on a website and there's like 100 pictures. I'm like, really? Did you really need to put? So that's been something. I am happy that I have the film-based education to know how to edit myself. But like sometimes it's tempting, like, oh, well, maybe I'll just, I have all these pictures, let me just throw it in. So that's been something I've had to really keep myself in check with, and not be like, oh, well, just because I can have 300 pictures in this blog post, does that mean I should?
Yeah, yeah, you get one. That's it.
Does that mean I should? So
I do, while we're on the subject, I do get annoyed at the photographers. How, as an art, as a musician, okay, tell me, Kate, as a musician, since you're a musician too, but as like a musician who's in playing violent punk shows, and there's and there's and there's photographers in the front, like, how do I relate to these people? Because they're in there, like, in my face shooting, and I'm glad that they're shooting and I'm appreciative of it. But also, like, they're getting bumped into. I'm hitting them by accident. Like, what's the right way for me to relate to them in a like collegial, like, positive way?
You mean, should you break the fourth wall?
What is that?
Oh, like, yeah. Like, basically, yeah, that's when you're like, look, you're mean mugging. You're mugging for the camera.
Oh no, I was thinking more like, can I push them? Fucking like, can I tell them to move? Can I tell them to move, or stop shooting, or move to the side, or like,
if they're impeding you, if you feel like they're physically impeding you, then that's up to you. Like, most of the time, I haven't had that happen. When I shot Leftover Crack in the in Tompkins Square, like, That was a very, like, I had to work that whole time. Because sometimes I'm just like, yeah, I'm like standing there and I'm just like getting really great shots because I'm just like, whatever, because the crowd. But that crowd was, you know, Leftover Crack crowd.
Of course.
So, like, I remember.
That's what I'm saying.
The cover photo that ended up on Brooklyn Vegan for the, that ended up being a gallery in Brooklyn Vegan. But I remember, like, 2 seconds before I took the picture, this kid surged up behind me and I fucking shoved him right out of the way. I was like, oh no, I'm not missing this. And I just like, bam, with the camera right at Sturgeon.
Nice.
So it's like, I try not to do that. And I appreciate when bands don't do that to me and when audience members don't do that to me, but it depends. You know, if I'm shooting like an indie rock show, it's completely different than if I'm shooting a fucking Leftover Crack show.
Yeah.
I remember one of the early shows I did when I was a kid, I was just learning. I had a point and shoot camera. I jumped on stage with Bouncing Souls. And their singer poked me with his, he had like a cane and he like was poking me with it. And then the security guard picked me up and dumped me off the side. So generally it's like, you know, it also depends. Do you know the person? Do you not know the person? Yeah. So, you know, I guess gauge it. Like if the person's up in your face and in your personal space and like hits you or something like that, then it's like, dude, get the fuck out of here.
I mean, I don't even think it's necessarily photographer's fault sometimes, because sometimes there'll be like 3 or 4 photographers doing something, and then there'll be like a buffer between me and the crowd, and I'll be like, okay, this is ridiculous, you know, like y'all gotta I don't know what to say, you know. I'm just like, so I just kind of poke and push, I guess. If I had
don't
a cane,
kick anybody.
Yeah, that's a hard one not to do there. I guess unless they're at face level, right? Unless
one of those bands, like then when the Hives, I think it was one of those people that kicked a photographer.
Really?
He got like sued or some shit.
Of course
like,
he did.
Yeah, it was one of the bands in like the mid 2000s.
I mean, the hard part is these are people who are taking pictures of you because they like you. So you want to encourage that. You want to be like, hell yeah, this is great. But at the same time, you're playing the show for the people there. So it gets, to me, sometimes it gets a little weird.
Yeah, it also depends too. Like if I have an existing relationship with a band, I will get on stage with them.
Yeah.
If I don't know them, then I tend to stay back. So yeah, I mean, it all depends to what your relationship is. If you don't know the person, I know your personality. I'd be more gentle.
Well, this is a good idea too, because you're a musician. You play a lot of shows. You play a ton of DIY shows. So you know that it can get, like, the relationship between the audience and the musicians is super important in those shows. Much, much more so, I think, than in, like, bigger shows where they have, like, a buffer zone made for photographers, you know? So, as a photographer...
Yeah, those shows are arguably a lot easier, like, than when you're dealing, like, like I said before, I had to, like, work, meaning, like, I had to work the crowd. I had to move around a lot.
It's dangerous.
And some shows, like, are much easier where I can, like, kind of scout out a couple different positions and people are, like, cool, and they'll get out of my way because they see the camera. Right. They're, like, they know that I'm there for a certain purpose.
Exactly.
But, yeah, DIY show, a lot of times people do not give a fuck.
Yeah.
And they're just, like, I'm slam dancing, and I'm fucking crowds, I'm doing my thing.
And it's tough too for the bands because that relationship they want to foster, and also they want to foster that between photographers too. But I want to know this. We're going to get into some heavier issues, but I want to know this. How do you see the relationship, like making visual art versus making auditory art or whatever you call music? Like making when you're shooting or you're conceptualizing photographs or when you're like seeing something to take a picture of, do you feel like it's using the same part of your brain? Like are you seeing things the same way you see things when you're behind a drum set or in front, you know, or you're behind a guitar? Like do you feel like the same creative process? Like when you're making these two different art forms, or do you feel like, no, it's totally different worlds, they're different creativity, they're different using different elements of my personality and my life, whatever. Like, is there a relationship?
That's a very interesting question. I mean, obviously they're all creative processes. So yes, I'm using the creative part of my brain, but I think I probably do approach them differently because it's, you know, one, I'm using one sense and the other, I'm using another. But it does all come from that same core drive to create something and put something interesting into the world and something thoughtful. But
like maybe when you're editing, do you feel like when you're editing, I can see that a little bit more. Like when you're shooting, maybe it's like a live show and you feel like you're playing. But when you're editing, you feel like it's like I'm writing a song here. I'm like looking for the right beats, you know, I'm looking for the right nodes. And
in a way, like, yeah, the best way for that representation to come out. I don't tend to be a very heavy editor. Some people are more than not. Like I tend to do most of my work in camera. But, you know, thinking further on that, as a photographer, most of the time I'm there as a documentarian. So when I'm doing a collage and mixed media and specifically creating something for a purpose, like I am creating this to express how I am feeling right now, how I really got in. I always made collages as a kid, but I got very much into it to express emotions when I had a partner pass away about 10 years ago. So that very much is when I'm doing something like that, I'm coming from that same like songwriting, I'm building something up out of nothing. But most of the time with photography, it is different. It is a different thing because I'm documenting something that exists in front of me. And there have been times when I've created a photo shoot and built up a concept. But like shooting a live show, I'm there to document that moment and make sure that it's preserved and done in the most interesting way possible. So I do touch on the creative side. I do touch on like what is the most interesting way that I can make this, I can visually represent this moment. But I really view myself as artistically documenting a moment rather than creating something which I would do and express a specific emotion or a feeling or a political point of view with some of my collage work.
And we're going to take a break in 1 second. We're going to listen to a tune. But before we do that, I know I just said that, but before we do that, I want to transition to that into what I think is a sensible way. You're a musician. You're a photographer. You shoot shows a lot. Not exclusive. You do other stuff, right?
Yeah, I'm working towards doing other stuff. Lately, I've been, because it's like what I've had access to. Yeah. I just go to a bunch of shows and shoot. But I'm starting to get doing some portraiture and... I want to get back. I used to love to photograph toys and set up like studio setups and stuff like that. So I just got some lights. So I'm going to be back to doing some tabletop work.
What do you, for other folks who shoot shows, do you have any advice for them? Because I think as a musician, I would think that you would better understand the wave of music, like how music is written and how it crescendos and moves together and flows together. So you would logically be a good person to shoot photographs of shows because you get it.
Yeah, that does help a lot.
You think that people who don't shoot, I mean, like shoot what you know or what? Like, should people just shoot what they know or should they fucking get outside their zone or what?
I think it pushes me as a photographer to shoot what I don't know.
Oh, really?
And a lot of times I'll look at stuff. Like an exercise I do with myself, if I see an interesting photo, especially like a studio setup, I'll look at that. I'm like, how did that person do that? And I like mentally go over. I'm like, okay, well, they would have set up the lights here and this and that, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, I mean, obviously it's great to shoot what you know, but I'm constantly trying to push different techniques while I'm doing that. You know, I do want to get into, like, maybe I want to go take some nature photographs because I've never had...
That sounds boring as hell.
I've never had any interest in it, but I'm like, what if it could teach me something that I'm missing that I could bring into what my true passion is?
All right, so. I'm going to stop us before we get into nature.
I know, before I start taking pictures.
Everyone's tuning out on
koala
that.
Bears.
All right, let's listen to them. We'll get right back. Get down. All right, let's take another break. Let's listen to another tune. Here's a tune from someone who's been on this podcast before, Naomi, who's been on this podcast before. I think, actually, I met Naomi through you, I think, originally. So
I think that is accurate.
That actually makes sense that we're going to be playing this tune because that's how I know Naomi. She's an amazing musician. She's in a band whose name I still don't think I have the right to say. So you're going to introduce this song.
Basic Bitches. They're called Basic Bitches. They have a brand new cassette single, What's for Breakfast Records. It's two songs, White Bread President and My Body, My Choice. It's really good. It's going to benefit Planned Parenthood.
Oh, wow.
So 100% of the profits are going to that. So you should pick it up, download it, or you can get a physical tape from the band or from the record label. The song we're going to listen to is White Bread President.
By Basic
Bitches.
Basic Bitches. Yeah, there we go. Get down.
You'd like to talk, but not to listen. You love the Lord, oh, but lack compassion for anyone that don't conform. Your narrow view, the human form.
Daddy's sick, and no one's coming.
let's step back a little bit from the personal and get a little bit meta. I think the kids are calling it meta, although that might just be from reading too many DC comics or something like that. But let's talk about the larger issue here. You know, I think a lot of times when we see bands, we see a lot of men going up and performing. And when we look at the artists behind a lot of the artwork that they do or behind a lot of the photographs that they have taken, you'll see a lot of women behind that art. And so why is it, do you think, that there is this gender split between like visual arts being feminine and auditory arts being more masculine? I mean, obviously all of this is you know. Like,
I wish I had the answer to that.
I mean, I don't. It's obviously not all true, right? So we're just like looking at a phenomenon of something. Obviously, you're a musician, right? And we know lots of incredible female musicians, and luckily, it's happening more and more that that's a phenomenon. And part of it is because you encourage and have given space to a lot of female musicians in our scene. And we see a lot of male artists too. So it's not like this is 1-to-1 ratio. It is true that there's a lot of dudes making music and a lot of women making art behind the scenes. Is it because dudes are allowed to be loud and brash and women are expected to be behind the scenes and not seen, and they are therefore they represent in other forms? I don't know.
I think historically it's been that way, but you're right. There has been a shift. You know, a lot of the visual artists I know, a lot of photographers I know are women. And
shout out to Steph.
Yeah, Steph.
Brooklyn Vegan.
And Jeanette Moses, who they both shot Punk Island together this year. I just turned away from the mic. Sorry.
Incredible photographers.
Yeah, they shot Punk Island this year. And my band has worked with Jeanette on some stuff. And yeah, I don't know. And it's just one of the things that kind of drives me up the wall. And I think it's because women have done this infrastructure work for so long is when, you know, people just then, you know, women are expected to do these things for free. They're expected to do these things for, you know, little compensation if they get any, and little recognition, providing childcare, because as the scene is aging, you know, more and more people have kids. So that's a consideration, like childcare at not usually at like one-on-one shows, but like at festivals, you know, women working the door, things like that, you know, women behind the scenes and doing booking, but then they're not represented on stage. So one of the things that as I have gotten back into this, on a photography front is I have been, you know, there were some missteps early on and I made some mistakes, but it's protecting myself and protecting my work, because it's like I'm not there to create work for you. I'm there for myself and to document this because it's important to me. But it's if you want to use this work, then, you know, do not expect that I'm going to hand it over to you for free.
Right.
And I've had that happen. I toured earlier this summer with my friend Sister Munch, and we hit a town in Indiana, and multiple people and bands on that show either spoke to me directly or contacted Sister Munch expecting to get that work from me for free. And Sister Munch, you know, to their credit, they were awesome. They paid me to come and document that, you know, and that's important to me because I'm not working full time. I'm trying to make photography a full time job. Obviously, I'm not going to be working full time documenting the punk scene.
Right.
You know, that's more of a passion project. But being able to do things like Broken Vegan, those are big steps.
Yeah.
You know, but, and it's because of friends who support and nurture the work. And whenever, you know, another thing that, you know, I understand not every single person can pay, you know, but do not come up to me and just expect that I'm going to hand over the work for free. Like, if you can't afford to pay for it, then be like, hey, maybe I'll give you this shirt. Hey, maybe next time you come see us, we'll put you on the list. Something, because it's like, you know, I'm trying to find my way too. And, you know, whenever I put something on my blog, I understand it's out there. It's on the internet. People are going to take it. People are going to use it. Don't screenshot my work, please. For the love of God, right click it or I'll email it to you. Don't screenshot my work. It looks like shit. But the other thing is, you know, I have been very, like, a watchdog. Like,
I do this opposite, by the way. I'm always like, just screenshot it.
Yeah,
just
I'm like,
take
oh
it.
God, it looks so crappy. It looks so crappy. So yeah, I understand. Yeah. I'm not like, I'm not like crazy, like you can't use my shit, but it's like if you use my shit, like at least have the goddamn courtesy to put a fucking credit on it. Yeah. Like I've had to chase after bands, and a lot of times it's not intentional.
Of course.
Like, I understand that it's not intentional, but like just like it's like that's like me downloading an all torn up song, putting Lady Business on it or putting Kate Hoos on it and being like, here's my song. Like, you know, it's not.
You can do that, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, I'm going to do that. But it's like we would never think to do that.
Yeah.
We would never think to do that for a band, like claim it as our own. And I don't think anybody like is claiming the work as their own. But by not crediting that artist, whoever, whether it's a photographer, whether it's somebody who drew something for you, that's effectively what you're doing. You're saying that their contribution doesn't matter.
Well, I think it's a little bit different. And I want to get back to the gender element of it too, but let's go down this road for a little bit longer too, because I think this is a really important point. I mean, it's a little bit different in the sense that if you come and take pictures of me, for example, I'm in the photograph. So like, I feel like there is an understood like complexity to this. Like, well, I'm the subject of the photograph. Don't I have a right to it too? And I can see people sort of like, I don't believe that. I don't think so. Like, I think if someone's taking a picture of me, I would never be able to do that in a million years. You know, I could never take a picture that was anywhere near as good as you or my friend Amy or my friend G Fresh, who does a lot with this podcast. He's an incredible photographer as well. And, you know, I wish I could pay everybody what they're due. Obviously, I make no money doing this shit, so it gets complicated for underground stuff, but I always try to give people credit as much as I can, and sometimes I miss it, and sometimes I don't, but there is a little, I can understand people saying, well, this is a little bit more complicated because I'm a subject of it.
Yeah, no, I have thought about that. I really have. Because
I doubt they have, but I can imagine them.
And if anybody was ever not comfortable or didn't want to be in a photo, I would, if they contacted me, I had one person, they were just like, it was a friend and she kind of was like bent a certain way and she didn't like it. And I was like, absolutely. I took it down immediately because I don't want to ever have something out there that somebody's uncomfortable with. And if somebody was like, I don't want my band on your blog, I would honor that. So it is interesting because it's like, yeah, you're the subject of it. But more, I mean, like, if I put something on my blog, it's because I love it and I'm passionate about that band. Most of the time, like sometimes, you know, I have posted bands and I'm like, oh, I'm not necessarily like, I'm not in love with their music, but like visually they're interesting, whatever it is. I understand they're going to use that, but then it's like they want to put it in a magazine. They want to put it on their album cover. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, I see. They want to put it in a magazine and album cover.
Yeah,
I see.
That's where I'm like, I'm sorry, but I cannot give that to you. Like, there's an intrinsic value to that image that I created. And whether, you know, you want to recognize that or not, you know, you have to, like, think of some kind of compensation for the time that I put into that, my education, my experience, my camera equipment, which costs a lot of fucking money.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm talking about that. Like, if somebody wants, you know, whatever, a low-res image that I put on my blog, I can't stop them.
Yeah.
I cannot stop them from doing that. Even if I right click protect it, which I don't, you know, they can still screenshot it, which again, don't screenshot my shit. It looks crappy. It's just because it looks crappy. I'll email it to you, you know, and I'm happy to give like a lot of friends, you know, stuff, but,
you know, I have
when it's low resolution, but if somebody hits me up and wants a high resolution photo, then we're talking something different there.
That's a good way to deal with it because I will use high resolution stuff for art, you know, like for a magazine or if someone wants pictures of the band. And that's an interesting point. So if I'm using high resolution stuff or if I'm using something explicitly for someone else, I should pay the photographer.
Yeah, otherwise, if you want to barter, whatever.
Yeah,
that's how I deal with it.
That's a good way to put it. We're using great new photographs from our friend Kristen, who took photographs of All Torn Up. So I should definitely some magazines have hollered at us, but definitely.
I mean,
if
that person is okay, if they're like somebody who's working full time and they're doing this as a hobby, but I'm not doing this as a hobby. This is not a hobby. This is something that I am aiming to. And again, I'm happy if you want to post something on your Instagram and give me a credit. You know, that's the other side of that coin is if you're using some of my low res stuff, whatever, and, you know, it's online, just give me a credit because, you know, you never know who's going to see that and be like, wow, I like that photographer, blah, 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 whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a two-way street because basically I'm promoting your band.
Right.
You can turn around and promote me or conversely, if it's, you know, someone like Caitlin, who's done a lot of work for Punk Island.
Amazing artist, Caitlin Chen.
She's an amazing artist. Like, you know, making sure we tag those artists or a graphic designer. Like, I realize I haven't always been the best at it. And I have to remember, like, you know, if somebody made that flyer, who should I credit back to that? Because maybe it's a way for that person to put to make some money and pay their fucking rent.
That's a couple of good, like, rules of thumb, I think, for people who aren't really thinking about these things to figure out who they should be paying or who they should be crediting or who they should be, like, offering some sort of something to get back at and help out those artists who are helping out them as artists. But let's actually go from there to this gender thing, because maybe this is feeding into it, right? Because maybe it's like, are these seen as supportive roles? Like, photography in the realm of music, obviously music is the key, right?
Yeah, so music, like, is like the centerpiece to the DIY scene.
So there's these, well, to our DIY scene, I guess there's like art DIY scenes or artists are the center. True. We don't really touch
DIY
those too
music
much.
Scene, yeah.
So the lighting, the venue, the visual photographers and visual artists, they're not the centerpiece of the musical DIY scene. So they're playing more of a supportive role. But you see so often that supportive role is being played by women who aren't allowed to or encouraged to be at the center. Why? Why do you think that is?
Again, I wish I knew that answer.
Okay, we can't finish this shit until you know the goddamn
but
answer.
I think it's because women are seen as nurturers. Like, we're seen as caretakers, providers, of emotional support, not provider. Like, you know, and I think that owes very much to traditional roles. And we've always, you know, look at the past 40, 50 years of independent music. It's been that way. Women have been behind the scenes. And that band that's on stage is always the centerpiece, you know? And, but I'm like, if you are willing to pay the recording engineer, then pay the person who made the art on your front cover. If you're willing to pay the sound person, then pay the person who took the photos, you know, things like that. But it is, you know, then we're like, we haven't even gotten to, like, well, capitalism and things like that. But it's like, we do, at the end of the day, we do live in a capitalist society, and I do have to pay my rent, whether I like it or not. Like, my landlord needs that fucking check at the end of the month. So how am I going to get there? You know, and working a soul-sucking full-time job for somebody else or taking control of my own destiny. So that's, and, you know, I don't.
That's a good way to put it.
I don't know, would I have an easier job if I was a dude? I don't know. I can't, I don't know, because I'm
never had that experience.
I've never experienced life as a man.
Let me tell you, having experienced life both as a man and a woman, that it's easier as a dude.
Yeah.
I've never actually experienced life as a woman, but I feel like, given my position of privilege as a man, I can speak for women.
Yeah. Joey Steele's always speaking for women.
All right, that was fucked. That was a joke. It was just, don't cut
that
out.
Yeah, bad joke. Joey's like, I'm editing that part out.
No, that's going to stay. Don't worry.
But yeah, I mean, and again, I'm not a hard nose. I'm not going to be like, oh, well, yeah, you want to use that photo? It's going to be $100. Like, obviously.
Fuck yeah, let's do it. Let's do that,
like,
shit.
I somehow randomly had a picture of you two and Bono hit me up, I'd be like, yeah, give me $500, please. But I recently had a band hit me up, and they, you know, were doing something for a magazine, and they're like, we'll put you on the list for the next show. I know they don't have a ton of money, so I was like, okay. Yeah. You know what? Like, at least they offered something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's a give and a take. It's a give and a take.
How can we as people who have no money, and I mean, we know that our art is not going to make any money, or at least it's not going to make enough money to even cover the other massive costs that we can't get around. I guess it's kind of bullshit to see visual art and as a thing you can get around, because so many visual artists are willing to give up their art for low cost. So I guess that's why you can get around it. So that's fucked up too.
Well, I mean, this would be a whole, like, other episode, how the digital age has changed everything.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I wasn't really making music prior to the digital age, but I was going to shows, and it was like, you know, that was the lifeline. You bought the CD, the demo tape, the 7-inch. And, you know, some of those things are making resurgences, but, you know, it was possible. Like, look at a band like Fugazi that, like, toured successfully for years and only sold records at their shows. And it's like, now it's just like, a whole revenue stream is cut out. And it's like the same thing with visual stuff. Now that it moves so fast, it's like it's expected that the value is so much lower. Yeah. And people, there are people who are willing to give it away for free and things like that. So I don't know. That's like, there's so many different prongs of this conversation we could spend a long time talking about.
Yeah, for sure. We should do it too, because there is another element of like the fact that things are free. In some ways, it encourages people who have lots of money to make more art, and that's great for them. But people who have no money, people who are poor and are poverty stricken, and they don't have a lot of money, they can't be producing art because there's no labels willing to encourage even talented young artists. Like, there's no way to encourage them because they're not making money because they're not selling any records. So there's only massive labels, and labels run by rich people. There's like very little room in the middle ground anymore. So there is a ton of stuff to talk about, and it's like super, people wouldn't be aware of it other than people who are making music, I think. But put that to the side. That's that again, it's another episode. But how can we, in like 2 minutes, come up with ways to support women in our scene who are both visual artists and musical artists? And so that we're, and it's not like we're trying to discourage males on these fronts, but how can we be more supportive of women so that it's positive for them and that their experience isn't just this nurturing thing, but their actual like value as an artist is appreciated?
Well, I think, you know, I've mentioned this before on the podcast. It's not just women. It's queer people. It's people of color. You know, white straight cis men have held the spotlight forever. Like, for the past 10 years, like just forever. Mm-hmm. So it's nurturing women. It's nurturing queer people. It's nurturing the trans community. It's nurturing people of color and all of these things and lifting their work up and, you know, supporting the people who are making music, the people who are photographers, who are visual artists, who are writing and doing those things. And how we get that way, how we get those people to the spotlight is we need to be responsible and seek them out, you know, first of all. And maybe that means for some people stepping outside of their comfort zone. And I think just including people, because I get asked all the time, how do I include more women on my shows? Just ask them. Just ask them to play. And don't ever market it.
But the cootie situation is not going to be...
Yeah, get your cootie shot first. But so I get asked that. It's like, just ask them like they're a normal band. Like, don't like, oh, well, you know, I got to ask the band with the POCs in it and I got to make sure I have the women or marketing it as, oh, it's a ladies night. Just fucking include people as though they're your equals, because they are, you know. And then when you're using an image or you're using a painting or you're using a photograph, whatever it is, you know, make sure you're recognizing that. Make sure you're fostering that, because obviously if that person is supporting you and helping your band, it's then you need to be like, hey, Caitlin Chen, amazing artist. Stephanie and Jeanette, amazing photographers. Kate, who's photographer, you know, it's not just like,
she's waiting for me to say it. I haven't done
it. Yo, this band's so good. You know, it's like all these different people or this author or whoever it is. And just, you know,
So issue number one, seek out people outside your comfort zone and step outside and grab them.
Who are not like you. And I think that's been a huge misstep in the punk scene since day one. It's not that I was there, but you know,
we were there, and they weren't. Yeah,
I was there.
We were there.
77.
Yep, for sure. Yeah, I've been at every single CBGB show that's ever happened, and we don't step.
I was in the Sex Pistols.
We could speak for these motherfuckers.
Don't even get me started on how dumb the Sex Pistols are. All right,
I feel like y'all got it. We got pretty deep into this one, so let's take a break here and let's listen to some tunes. Get down. All right, we're going to listen to another tune here from a band that we are both mutually friends with. This is Enziguri from the Bronx, and we are both friends with Davey. He's an incredible musician. Not only a great musician, but a great promoter of the scene here in New York City.
Yeah, he works really hard. He's a wonderful, wonderful person.
Very, very wonderful person. And they have a new record out. It's an incredible record. I think it's great from top to bottom. And we're going to be playing a lot more of it on the podcast, but we're going to go back to the old record and listen to another one from the old one. So here's Enziguri. What song you want to listen to?
Reclaim. It's the first song on there. there. It's one of my favorite songs. They don't play it live a lot anymore, which, guys, I wish you would. But it's just kind of like the journey, the photography thing that I talked about in this whole episode, like reclaiming the spot that I fought for, not giving in to somebody else's bullshit and determining my own destiny.
Get their new album.
Yeah, it's really good.
But don't forget about this old stuff, yeah, too. So here's Reclaim by Enziguri from the Bronx in New York City. Get down. That's it. We're done. Thank you very much, Kate Hoos, the amazing visual and auditory artist. Kate Hoos. Auditory? I don't know if I'm using that word right.
I guess. I would say musician.
Audio?
Musician?
Fuck you guys. Whatever. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Where can people find out more about your business?
My business? Well, lady business. We have Facebook. We have Bandcamp, Instagram, Lady Business NYC. That's with a Z. B-I-Z. Because we don't got time for extra letters.
And just a reminder, October 6th,
there
will be a show.
At Bushwick Public House, yeah.
Public House, which will be the same day as an All Torn Up show.
I know, I'm sorry.
But I do want to say that we are playing, All Torn Up is playing at the Swamp. And we're going to be playing with our good friends from Los Bungalitos and Malcriados. So maybe you can, it's like super close to the other show. So maybe you can walk back and forth between them or go to the Lady Business early and then come to the All Torn Up show later, because we probably go a little later. So
yeah, I'm bummed because that's a show I definitely would want to go to.
It's going to be a good time. So October 6th, you have no excuse if you're in New York City not to be at a show.
Yeah.
Minor, Kate's, whatever.
Bushwick Public House, the Swamp, but Bushwick Public House.
Yeah, Bushwick Public House, fine. Go to the Bushwick Public House. It's way easier to find.
We're playing with the Lonelyers, Thundera, and True Dreams.
What time does the show start at?
I think doors are 7.
Oh yeah, totally. Go to that show and then when you're good and sloshed, come over to the Swamp. It's all good.
Yeah, and my mom is gonna be there, so come on, right there.
What else is going on? Where else can people find out more stuff about your business?
Oh, so my business, like me.
Yeah.
You can check out Housatron.com. And at Housatron, that's my Twitter that I don't post that much on, and my Instagram, which I post more on, and that's where you can find my work. I am.
You spell Housatron?
Housatron, and that's the name of my stage at Punk Island. So
yeah.
You can also find, like, I do the social media for Punk Island, so that's like me. Usually, when you see somebody posting something there, but yeah, I'm, you know, talking about the digital learning curve we talked about before. I, you know, I'm working on a better, classier looking website. But right now, you get the shitty blog spot. But hey, it does the job.
So what's the address again for the blog spot?
Husatron.com.
Husatron.com. H-O-S-A-T-R-O-N. Husatron.com.
Yeah, it's the same as my handles for social media.
Cool. All right, that's where you can find out everything that Kate's got going on. Also, don't forget to check out Cop Out, our mutual band. We're going to be having some more updates soon. You can get us on Facebook. Just a couple of other shows coming up soon. All Torn Up is going to be playing in Albany for anyone who's up there. October 14th, Saturday, October 14th, and we're playing a huge show for the 10th year anniversary of Refuse and Resist in Boston with Refuse Resist. Disaster Strikes is going to be on that show. There's just a whole laundry list of incredible bands. Neighborhood Shit's playing that show as well. So that's going to be a fantastic show, and that is Sunday, October 15th, I believe. And
fuck, I'll still be on the road. I was like, can I jump in the van and come?
It's going to be a good one. Also, All Torn Up is going to be playing a bunch of shows in Canada with the Subhumans in November around Thanksgiving, America time. That's November like 22nd through the 26th. So if you're in Canada or you're just trying to escape the turkey genocide, we'll see you in Canada. So that should be fun as well. And Skullcaster, my other band, is releasing a demo as we speak, and we're going to be doing all of the West Coast and Southwest in December. So tons of good stuff to hang out with in the very near future. Till then, get down.
Get down.
Let's listen to one last song on this episode. What do you want to close this episode off with, Kate?
One of my favorite bands, Trophy Wife. They're out of Philadelphia. They're really involved in the DIY scene and with, I guess, I don't know exactly what they call it because there's different iterations of Rock Camp, but they're also involved in Rock Camp down in, or at least one of the members. And they've done benefits for Planned Parenthood and stuff. So they're very active in the scene. And their drummer, Katie, is a friend of mine. And she posted something on Facebook about a year or so ago talking about like the labor that women put in behind the scene and how men can step up and stuff. And I wish I had that so I could read it verbatim for you right now, but I don't. I have it screenshotted on my computer.
Well, I'm super glad you don't, because we do not have time to listen to that.
Yeah.
As usual, his dude's
it
cutting
is food
it
for
off.
Thought, yeah, dude's cutting it. Dude's ruining typical, everything. Fuck.
Typical white dudes being pieces of shit. But
Trophy Wife is an amazing, amazing band. You should check them out.
Trophy Wife will have the last word on this episode appropriately. So here's Trophy Wife from Philadelphia. Get down.